President Biden has just pardoned his son Hunter on gun and tax charges that he was facing. The president reversed his previous position. He had long said that he would not pardon Hunter, expressing faith in the justice system and the rule of law. President Biden was emphatic, telling our David Muir this summer that he would not pardon his son when he was directly asked. And Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre told reporters on Monday that the president had spoken on the issue.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. That was ABC News breaking the story that happened in the last hours or so, that President Biden had decided, after all, to pardon his son Hunter. Today, I think that it would be good for us to reflect on, we're going to talk about what the pardon actually said. We're going to talk about, remind all of us about what Hunter was accused of, the implications for President Joe Biden, why the pardon might have been granted. And also, we're going to touch on the J6ers, because obviously that's something that President Trump has come under fire for even hinting that he would pardon the J6ers. So we'll talk about that also. But first, you know that you can call us. You can at 662-821-2040. You can leave us a message, and we will be able to use at least some of those on the air in a future show. You can write us at sandy@afr.net. And by the way, I've been reading some of your email, catching up, just some great stuff. I'll be sharing that with all of you very shortly. You can listen or find us on any Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Truth Social, all of those outlets, Telegram. And you can listen to the show on those outlets as well. Or you can go to any podcast platform, including afr.net. Or you can go to my website, sandyrios.com. That's a great place and an easy place for you to listen to the show. Well, I saw something really interesting recently. Dr. Anthony Levitino is a former abortionist from New Mexico. I had the privilege of viewing him many years ago, but he just did an update, and I want you to hear what he had to say. He said, I did 1,200 abortions, first and second trimester. One was for rape, two were for incest, 9 or 10 were for genetic defects. And all the rest of them were healthy moms and healthy kids. People don't want to believe that, but it's true. I think that's a profound statement by Dr. Levitino. He's done a great service to all of us by exposing the horrors of abortion by telling his own story. And one of the reasons, of course, that women feel so free to take the lives of their babies is that they don't really understand that that is their child and that is a real life inside of them. And that's the culture's fault for misleading them so badly through these many years that abortion has been legal. And that's where preborn comes in. With the ultrasound, it sets the record straight. It is a baby. It's sucking its thumb. Its heart is beating. You can see if it's a boy or a girl. It makes all the difference in the world. If you'd like to help preborn, it's just $28 for one ultrasound. You can go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. All right. So today, Bruce and I are going to try to sort out all of the issues, at least as many as we can, of this pardon by Joe Biden of his son Hunter, and help you, as we help ourselves, remember why this is so important on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
A longtime Fox News contributor, Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association,
a pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
He is not pardoning his son, which he could do. These are federal charges.
Right.
He is not doing that. He is not doing it because he is living what it means to have a rule of law in this country.
Yeah.
And if you want to know if he believes it, you could actually see
right.
What is happening with his own son.
The president, Anderson, has been really clear that he is going to accept the outcome of the trial no matter what happens.
So Joe Biden's gotten asked about, you know, talking about law and order. He's gotten asked if he would pardon his son. He has said no. On the other side, you've got Donald Trump, who has said that he will pardon the January 6th insurrectionists. Yeah. They're not even his sons. They're just sons of bitches.
Washington said, I am not running again, because he understood the self-restraint was absolutely essential to this country, so you don't have a king. He did not pardon his son. He did not order the Department of Justice to say, don't prosecute my son. So impressive.
Could have ordered the Justice Department to halt the prosecution of Hunter Biden, according to this court. Everyone understands he's a decent man.
I think Joe Biden has a chance here to stand up for the rule of law, to say the law is the law, no matter who it is, no matter if it's Trump or Biden. And remember, part of Trumpism's dangerousness is that it tears down institutions, important institutions of our democracy. So there is an opportunity here for Biden to say, you know, the jury found him guilty. This is how it's supposed to work. Period, paragraph, end of story.
Have you ruled out a pardon for your son?
Yes.
Sandy Rios back with you. Prior to this past Sunday evening, I believe it was, That's the way the media felt about President Trump, President Biden, because he had said he would not pardon his son. And they were saying how, what a great man he was and how he sticks to his principles, even though his son is being persecuted. He said he would not, you know, go over, you know, the Justice Department's decisions on Hunter's criminality. He would not pardon him. He said it on a number of occasions. Well, that all changed on Sunday night when he said, today I signed a pardon for my son Hunter. From the day I took office, I said I would not interfere with the Justice Department's decision-making, and I kept my word even as I have watched my son being selectively and unfairly prosecuted. There's more to that statement, but I just want to give you an idea of what happened. Well, that was, again, another big shift in the narrative. And so a lot of people on the left were not happy about that. Makes me think of Joe Walsh. Joe Walsh is a Chicagoan. I knew Joe way back. He used to be a really strong conservative. I was all about trying to get Joe elected as governor to the state of Illinois. And then, like so many others, Joe flipped a switch and became, you know, a Trump hater. But this is what he said just after President Biden pardoned Hunter. This is clip two. Let's listen.
See, I told you so. They're all like that. So the next time any of us complain about anything Trump does, this pardon is just deflating. For those of us who have been out there for a few years now yelling about what a unique threat Donald Trump is, for Joe Biden to do something like this, Trump, nobody's above the law, we've been screaming. Well, Joe Biden just made clear his son Hunter is above the law. Donald Trump lies every time he opens his mouth, we've been screaming. Joe Biden repeatedly lied about this. The politicization of the justice system, Donald Trump and his people have been screaming. Well, exactly what Biden said here.
Joe, is this a politics of purity? I mean, we had Donald Trump pardon Sheriff Joe Arpaio during his term, and there wasn't a lot of hue and cry about that. I mean, this is a father who saw his first wife killed, his daughter killed in a car crash, his two young sons survive. One goes on to have real difficulties with addiction. Another dies because of cancer. This is a family that's really troubled. I mean, yes, he said he wasn't going to do this, but did anyone ever believe that that was the case? I mean, I would have put good money on this happening. Like, are many people going to be surprised that a father who is also the president would do this for a son?
I don't know that people will be surprised, because you're right. Joe Biden repeatedly said he wouldn't do this, so he repeatedly lied. But this just furthers the cynicism that people have about politics, and that cynicism strengthens Trump, because Trump can just say, I'm not a unique threat. Everybody does this. Mm-hmm. If I do something for my kid, my son-in-law, whatever, look, Joe Biden does the same thing. I get it, but this was a selfish move by Biden, which politically only strengthens Trump. It's just deflating.
All right, so that was one of the key opponents to President Trump, Joe Walsh. And so he just expressed his frustration. Now, you heard The person interviewing him on MSNBC expressed, well, yes, but he's lost one son, and this is his only son. And so there are two actual reactions from the left, and that kind of illustrates it pretty well. But let me just drive it home even more. Mediaite had a headline that said, why Biden pardon Hunter? Guilty feelings, family solidarity. So the sympathy is coming through because they, you know, after all, you know, he suffered so much. And then Political, their headline just yesterday or the 1st of December said Biden says he won't pardon son Hunter. Republicans say Biden is a liar after he pardons his son Hunter. So that's the way they pose it. But I'm going to give you a couple of other examples. Now, Yanni Applebaum is another leftist writer, and this is what he says about it. On the pardon decision, like his stubborn insistence on running for a second term he couldn't win, Biden chose to prioritize his own feelings over the defense of his country. And then Nate Silver, who was a famous pollster on the left, said this, I discussed here how I voted for Harris despite feeling like Democrats indulged in a lot of bad behavior that voters were rational to publish. After the White House lying about the Hunter pardon, I'm not sure how much more I can tolerate. A selfish and senile old man. And then the New Yorkers, I'll just do this last one. Susan Glasser wrote this. She said, noting that Biden here writes of telling the truth to the American people, while not explaining how he lied to them before when he said he would not pardon his son. So, you know, there's backlash on the left and certainly backlash on the right, and Bruce and I are going to talk about in just a second. I want to go into just a little bit more about what Hunter's crimes are, because I think that's kind of basic to our understanding of what we're going to talk about here. This particular clip will lay out at least a little bit of this. This is clip 3.
Earlier today, Hunter Biden was convicted of 2 counts of lying on a form submitted to a federal firearms dealer about his addiction or use of crack cocaine and possessing a firearm while a user or addict.
I'm extremely proud of my son, Hunter. He has overcome an addiction. He's one of the brightest, most decent men I know, and I am satisfied that I'm not going to do anything. I said I'd abide by the jury decision, and I will do that, and I will not pardon him.
Like millions of Americans, Hunter was late in filing and paying his taxes. Unlike those millions of Americans, he was charged criminally for his failures that occurred during the depths of his addiction to drugs and alcohol.
And Hunter is also up for being sentenced next month. Does the president have any intention of pardoning him?
We've been asked that question multiple times. Our answer stands, which is no.
All right, so that ended with Karim Jean-Pierre. And then you heard President Biden saying he was not going to pardon Hunter. The charges basically are tax charges. They are felony charges out of California. And the second ones are gun charges. You heard that described in Delaware where he had possession of a firearm. As a matter of fact, there was a fight over it. It got thrown in the trash can. It's a little more graphic than that. And he is drug addicted. It's not supposed to have a gun, but he had one. And he misused it even as he had it. So those were the two charges. And he was going to be sentenced, I think, in 2 months or at least in maybe 2 weeks in the month of December. All right, I'm going to pause with that and ask Bruce to join me. Hi, sweetheart. And all of you know he's a former FBI agent, also a former prosecutor for Cook County, which is Chicago, Illinois. So he knows a little bit about this. Bruce, is it true that no one ever goes to jail for not paying their taxes?
No, it is not true that no one ever goes to jail for not paying their taxes.
Isn't that how you got gangsters and stuff in the past?
Al Capone. He couldn't be brought down on all the serious criminal things he did, but he was sent to jail for tax evasion. And, you know, this is inappropriate comment, but it's almost like insert laugh track as you listen to that, justification of why President Biden pardoned his son. I think one thing to remember before we even start down this road is the Biden family has either made most of these charges go away or has tried to. First off, Hunter has evaded paying taxes for many more years than the years he was charged with. And the IRS conveniently let the statute of limitations run on those cases before they indicted him. I don't think that would have been the same thing if we were the ones that were facing the charges. And what's even more important is this whole IRS case would have gone away except for two very brave IRS whistleblowers who came forward.
That's right.
By the name of Ziegler and Shapley. Those guys put their careers on the line because they saw what was happening, and the Justice Department was going to just push all this under the rug, all this tax evasion by Hunter. And they came forward and they said, wait a minute, you can't do this. This is the kind of thing we send people to jail for all the time.
Okay, so point taken. So that's not actually true. Now, I want to get into the international part of this in a little bit. But we'll save that, Bruce. Right now, let's stay on the present. These are the two charges that are official from the Justice Department, but they don't by no means capture the criminality. And but I want to go back to President Biden's statement here, because I think there probably be some worth talking about a little bit of this. He said, I'll reread this. Today, I signed a pardon for my son, Hunter. From the day I took office, I said I would not interfere with the Justice Department's decision-making, and I kept my word, even as I have watched my son being selectively and unfairly prosecuted. Now, I'm going to skip ahead, and this sounds like James Comey, because he says no reasonable person who looks at the facts of Hunter's cases can reach any other conclusion than Hunter was singled out only because he is my son, and that is wrong. There has been an effort to break Hunter, who has been 5.5 years sober, even in the face of unrelenting attacks and selective prosecution. In trying to break Hunter, they've tried to break me, and there's no reason to believe it will stop here. Enough is enough. I'll read the last paragraph, and then let's talk about it. For my entire career, I have followed a simple principle. Just tell the American people the truth. Another laugh track, Bruce. Yes. They'll be fair-minded. Here's the truth. I believe in the justice system, but as I have wrestled with this, I also believe raw politics has infected this process, and it led to a miscarriage of justice. And once I made this decision this weekend, there was no sense in delaying any further. I hope Americans will understand why a father and a president would come to this decision. So now, Bruce, what's the big deal? This is his son. He loves his son. No reasonable person would look at the facts and reach a conclusion that it was just nothing but a political witch hunt. Poor Hunter has been sober for 5 years, and they're trying to persecute him because of me.
You know, let's start with this Department of Justice is Joe Biden's Justice Department.
That's right.
I'll tell you, this thing, here's how they had hoped it would go. First off, they being the administration, hope that this whole case would just go away, that, you know, they could come up with a way to just say, well, you know what, this isn't a big deal. It doesn't need to be prosecuted. We waive prosecution on people all the time. But as we said, the whistleblowers from the IRS came forward and they torpedoed that theory. Then, of course, Joe, the only charges that were brought on the gun were brought in Delaware, which is the home state of Joe Biden, where he rules the roost. He appoints, his Justice Department appoints the U.S. attorney, David Weiss, that went after, quote-unquote, went after Hunter. And if you remember, there was a plea deal reached in which there was going to be no jail, really no ramifications, and they were all ready to run it through Abby Lowell, who is...
The former 60s radical, isn't he?
Yeah, that's the attorney for Hunter. To say he is a quote-unquote scumbag would be probably too nice.
But
what they did is they tried to run this plea deal past the judge in Delaware, and part of the plea deal would be that no other charges could be brought against Hunter. In other words, the tax cases would all go away. And the judge looked at it and said, wait a minute, the tax cases are not before me. This is just the
the firearm charge. So that went down the drain. So, you know, then Hunter had to kind of play more by the rules like the rest of us. And he would, and here's the thing. Hunter pled guilty to these tax charges. Joe Biden keeps talking about a miscarriage of justice. Hunter pled guilty to these charges.
Because they were lesser charges than should have been.
That's right. That were just. And he got a deal for pleading guilty. And to act like he was railroaded into this is laughable.
I think so too, Bruce. And I want to now give some, let me give this. Joe Biden, do you remember him saying, this is something he said all the time, no one is above the law. No one is above the law. No one is above no one. And so the media has been saying that. Now, here's the funny thing. Elon Musk tweeted this, I think, just in the last couple of hours. This is Joe Biden's tweet. No one is above the law. Now, Community Notes did a fact check, and I think it's run by AI, I'm guessing, because there's a few words that are odd here. Community Notes fact checked Joe Biden, and Community Notes via AI said, by pardoning his son Hunter, not merely for a simple crime, but for all actual or potential crimes he may or may not have created over an 11-year period, Joe Biden has made clear that some people are, in fact, above the law. That's AI.
Yeah, even AI figured it out.
I don't think that's really funny. All right, so, Bruce, I think the thing that we have to go back to is that when the election of 2020 was taking place, there was a story that broke by the New York Post about a laptop that belonged to Hunter Biden. That's when this kind of started. And this laptop contained, well, the guy that owned the shop that Hunter had brought it in to be repaired had it for months, if not a couple of years, and was trying to, you know, get it back. And he finally went inside and saw that it was Hunter's. But when he went inside to look at it, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. It had so much pornography. It had these horrible photos of Hunter Biden, which we've now seen plastered on newspapers and on television and on social media, of him smoking in a bathtub, of him, you know, with a hooker, and it's just a, and some things you couldn't see because they were so gross. So, but here's the real thing. As if that weren't bad enough, it talked about, described the entanglement and illustrated between Hunter and his father and the brother, Jim Biden, and the family, taking money from foreign entities, millions and millions of dollars. And we're going to get into that in just a second. But what happened was the social media companies, Facebook, came in first and declared that that was Russian disinformation. That was right before the election of 2020. And so the New York Times post and information was scrubbed from social media. It disappeared from headlines because you couldn't possibly know that. They didn't want you to know it, and they claimed it was wrong. Well, then fast forward to months later, and Hunter Biden actually admits it's his. And the Congress now opens investigations on all of this money going to the Biden family. My point in bringing that up at this point is that it wasn't just that poor Hunter had a drug problem and, you know, mishandled a gun or mishandled his taxes. It's that he was at the nerve center of raising money for the Biden family through foreign entities with our biggest enemies on the globe. And I think that's where I'd like to pivot a little bit. And as a matter of fact, Bruce, I've got a montage which will kind of lay it out even better than I laid it out. This is clip 11. Let's listen.
You know, CEFC, it's a multi-billion-dollar oil and gas company, just kind of goes poof. That doesn't happen with a legitimate company. That's a company that's controlled by the Communist Chinese Party. And let's face it, just, you know, $5 million, $1 million, $3.5 million, $4 million from Burisma, we're up already over $13 million for what? What qualified Hunter Biden from getting all that money for Biden Inc.? His name. He was influence peddling. This is the sleaziest thing that I've seen, certainly in politics.
My son has not made money in terms of this thing about, what are you talking about, China. I have not had, the only guy made money from China is this guy. He's the only one. Nobody else has made money from China.
Evan, just lay out your reporting here, because this is very, very bad for the president's son.
It is, and it's an investigation, as you pointed out, going back to 2018. And right now, prosecutors in Delaware are focusing on a number of things, including whether Hunter Biden and some of his business associates violated laws, including tax and money laundering laws and foreign lobbying laws. A lot of this has to do with Hunter Biden's time working with this company called Burisma, an energy company in Ukraine. He was getting paid as much as $50,000 a month for that company during a time that Joe Biden, his father, was vice president, was in charge of handling Ukraine issues for the Obama administration. And that, of course, raised questions of a conflict.
Hunter could be on the verge of being indicted for tax fraud and maybe money laundering and illegal lobbying. 2 weeks ago, the New York Times admitted that Hunter's laptop was in fact real. This came after the media spent over a year spinning the laptop as Russia disinformation. The Washington Post, at the time, even called the thing the Hunter Biden non-scandal. But it looks like things are changing today. In a bombshell release, the Washington Post joined the New York Times in authenticating Hunter's laptop. Not only did they acknowledge the laptop from hell is real, but they confirmed what we've been saying all along. The Biden family, Joe's son and Joe's brother, were raking in millions of dollars from Chinese tycoons tied to China's military and tied to the Chinese Communist Party, confirming they were paid almost $5 million by a Chinese energy conglomerate, CEFC, that was acting as the arm of China's Belt and Road Initiative, an insidious and corrupt thrust into the world and a threat to U.S. national security, proving that dirty Chinese money went directly into bank accounts owned by Hunter and Joe's brother, James Biden.
Of course, that last voice that you heard was Jesse Waters, but there were other familiar things. That was compiled by the Australian outlet. It's really interesting that the whole world is watching this. The point here is that Hunter Biden was gathering money. He actually went on trips with his father. He became the money, the guy that made the deals for the family. And so the Chinese energy company he received, we know there's a lot of here, but I'll just say a $1 million retainer just to work with the Chinese CEFC. He received a 2.8 carat diamond from a Chinese businessman. He received like $2 or $3 million from the wife of the mayor of Moscow. He worked with Ukraine. This is why Ukraine is so messy, because this Hunter joined the board of Burisma. He knew nothing about oil and gas. But as a result of that, President Trump almost got impeached because he tried to call out the fact that Joe Biden had threatened the investigator who was investigating Burisma and Hunter Biden, his son. Joe insisted that the Ukrainian president fire this investigator or he would withhold American military aid. And he said that publicly. We played it over and over again. So they did fire him, and the investigation stopped. And that's why this Ukraine thing, the reason when they keep sending money over there, we know where it's going. It's going into people's pockets. Well, I'll stop with that. We know that it's also going, he's made deals with Chad, with Uganda, a lot of our enemies. Honey, I'm going to take a breath for a second. I know you have things to comment on that.
Well, you know, we've been wondering where Joe Biden is the last year. We wondered, is he still the commander-in-chief? Well, I can guarantee you he is still the enabler-in-chief. You think about, you know, you talk about child abuse. They want to talk about poor Hunter, my poor son, my poor son. You know, Joe Biden used his son, and his son used Joe Biden. And, you know, Joe knew that his son had a drug addiction. But yet he put him into all these situations where he would be involved with Chinese officials, Ukrainian officials. And then when it all goes south, because it's nothing but it's a shakedown is what it is. It's the Bidens are shaking down these countries by getting Hunter put onto the board and doing something he's totally unqualified to do, and then getting millions of dollars, which went, remember, there were business partners, Tony Bobulinski,
yep,
and Devin Archer, who were involved with Hunter on these on Burisma and other Chinese energy things, and they have told us that there was a stipulation whenever they got paid money by these Chinese firms that, quote unquote, 10% went to the big guy.
Yeah,
the big guy was Joe Biden.
Yeah.
So, you know, spare me the my poor son who is a drug addicted misfortunate kid. Joe Biden did everything he could to use his son to act as a conduit so that the Biden crime family could be paid off by these interests in China.
And I want to add, this is a non sequitur, I realize, but I just think if we're trying to make this point, they're talking about what a great father he is and how compassionate. And that always makes me think of the fact that he showered with his daughter, as she wrote about it in her diary, which was found in a rehab facility that she'd been in, the room that she had stayed. And she talked about the trauma of her dad showering with her. What kind of a father? What kind of a man is this? He's not a man of integrity.
You know, Sandy, it's so ironic because the Democrats and the liberals like to point at the Trumps as being this terrible family. Yeah, they're really a terrible family. None of them have been arrested for anything. They don't use drugs. They don't drink. They run legitimate businesses. But yet Joe Biden, who is supposedly this iconic father, think of the kids. Hunter has had this drug addiction for years, and we're not sure he's over it because, remember, there was cocaine found in the White House probably 2 months ago that mysteriously has never really been investigated. And sources tell us that there's a partial fingerprint on the plastic bag that cocaine was found in.
But well, that just went quiet.
But it was never processed.
It just went quiet.
And, you know, I don't want, look, innocent until proven guilty, but, you know, I take a good look at Hunter Biden's fingerprints and compare them to what were found on that. Hunter Biden, you know, Joe loves to talk about his sons, and I feel for him that his son that was in the military passed away. But think of what happened. You know, Hunter started dating the widow
of his brother.
Of his brother who had passed away and eventually married her, I believe. And I mean, this is the kind of father Joe Biden is. You know, he then talk about lack of candor, lying. I mean, how many lies has Joe Biden demonstrated to the American public over a series of 30 to 40 years, you know, committing plagiarism when he was in school, talking about his accomplishments in athletics, which were made up, talking about his degrees and his grade point average, which was made up.
He had to drop out of a presidential race because he lied so much. We've played that before, but it's worth repeating and reminding people again.
Plagiarizing speeches by other people and saying they're his own. And then, like, when it comes to this, he talks about this is a miscarriage of justice. I thought he said over and over and over, I will respect the justice system. I will respect the jury's verdict. I will not grant a pardon. I will not interfere. He says that time and time again. And yet, all of a sudden, when it's convenient to grant the pardon, it's a miscarriage of justice. I thought everything was fine, but now all of a sudden, it's a miscarriage of justice.
Well, I want to close this part of our discussion with this. Sam Faddis is a national security expert, and a lot of people follow him. I do. He writes a Substack, and it's just excellent. And I want to read to you what he said. He said, "We don't call this corruption. We call this espionage." And he's absolutely right. This is not corruption. This is not just a bad boy, and his father's not just a doting father. This is espionage, and that's why Congress has been investigating it, and they should have for a long time. We've got something very dangerous going on. These were our worst enemies on the planet are not, I mean, we're not at war, well, not officially, but we are at war with China unofficially. Russia, China, Ukraine. Ukraine is not our enemy, but to be clear about that. But for the most part, they were our enemies. I don't know. It's just a travesty. And Bruce is right. We got to find out who's actually running this country. Joe certainly got his hands into it, but other people are behind him, and that's something we do have to find out. Well, Bruce, let's take a break. And when we come back, I want us to just do the end of the show on this pardon itself and on the implication for the J6ers. Just some comments about that, if you have some, and I have a few myself. So you're listening to Sandy Rios 24/7, me and my husband, Bruce, and we'll be back right after this. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
One heartbeat at a time and one heart at a time is how Preborn introduces moms to their precious preborn babies. The ultrasound is the weapon and the heart is the game changer. This combination leaves Preborn saving over 280,000 babies to date. Your donation of $28 sponsors one ultrasound and is critical to the battle for life. Go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy. Hi, it's Sandy Rios, your old friend from the morning show. So many crucial and frightening events are unfolding before our eyes that we have decided to re-engage with the daily news on Sandy Rios 24/7, as we once did in the mornings. I want to invite you to come over to the podcast, Sandy Rios 24/7, so that we can work our way through these difficult times together. Just go to AFR.net or any podcast platform. You can also find Sandy Rios 24/7 at sandyrios.com. And one more thing, a fun thing. My book, God's Velvet Hammer, is now on Audible. Sometimes listening is better than reading. I recorded it in my own voice, which makes it even more personal for all of you who know me so well. Audible books are available on Amazon.com. God bless each and every one of you for your faithfulness to Him. My prayer is that as we stand together in this battle, we can finish well.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
All right, Sandy, back with you, as in New York, along with Bruce. And I want to pivot just a little bit for this final part of the show today. This was sent to me from J6 Patriot News, from my friends there, and it's written by the mother of a J6er. And this is what she says. Nearly 1,600 American families who questioned the validity of the 2020 election were destroyed. Their homes were raided in the night. FBI paddy wagons lined their streets. Choppers with searchlights circled above their homes. Their doors were busted in, their toddler children frozen in the blinding siren lights. While screamed at, "Don't move," sobbing and terrified, with the red laser dots of rifles focused on their foreheads. Their house doors swung open. Their pets ran in fear down the dark streets. Many never recovered from it. Why? because the regime is determined to destroy every single man, woman, and child who does not kiss the ring of the supreme leader that was installed in direct dictatorial opposition to the expressed will of we, the people. No one was more willing to stand for the truth and for the nation and for the duly elected president than the entire January 6th community. They were entrapped, falsely accused, falsely convicted, and falsely imprisoned, and their lives, reputations, and families destroyed with a vitriolic vengeance. The facts were over the moon. Therefore, a false conviction in no way reflects the facts of the case. We respectfully request pardons and massive restitution for every single victim of Operation J6. One for all and all for one. No man left behind. Blanket pardon J6 POWs. We stand united as Americans, free in spirit, while many are still not free in body. We trust the president will stand behind those who stood behind him. And that brings us to this whole issue. Bruce, many people are floating the idea that this is really just a carpet ride. This is a quirky happening that makes it possible for President Trump to pardon all the J6ers. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it certainly paves the way and makes it easier. Believe me, though, this is not going to be a smooth thing that if President Trump tries to pardon the January 6ers, because the comparisons that the media will draw between a bunch of insurrectionists who tried to overthrow the country versus a father trying to pardon his addicted son. That's how it's going to be portrayed. Oh. But as far as legally, look, President Trump will be totally within his power under the U.S. Constitution. It's Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1, the ability to pardon people for federal crimes. All these people that were charged January 6th are federal defendants, and he can do that. Whether he will do all of them, I don't know. But I think you certainly are going to see this feeling of the general public that, well, geez, you know, Joe Biden told us over and over and over that he would not pardon his son. And now as he, and think about the timing of his pardon. It's a Sunday night of Thanksgiving weekend as the president, Biden, is leaving the country to go overseas. To me, if this is something you can be proud of, that's not how you do it. Release a press release and leave the country.
And you know, one other thing, Bruce, that occurs to me, he talks about Hunter, and we don't blame him for loving his son. No one takes that away from him. He has an odd way of showing it, for all the reasons Bruce stated. But he talks about his son as though he's the smartest person he knows. I remember he said that he's just wonderful, except for his problem with drug addictions. And about the J6ers, he talked about them like they were scum, excrement, just the worst people, insurrectionists and other things over and over again, gave these horrible speeches about how they should be punished. And I want to give just one other example. I also got this in my inbox just yesterday, and it's a picture. I wish I'd printed it out to show you, Bruce. But it's a J6 prisoner named Ryan Samsel, and it's a picture of him in the closet room he was held in for 5 months. It's really small. He's lying on a hard floor. He's got like a T-shirt and jock, you know, just short underwear on. He has been held in prison in isolation since January of 2021. During that time, he's been moved around to 17 different facilities. He's been beaten, abused, tortured, and neglected. And he is just one of many. I tell you about this all the time. So what's President Trump saying? In response to President Biden's pardon, he says, does the pardon given by Joe to Hunter include the J6 hostages who have now been imprisoned for years? Such an abuse and a miscarriage of justice. That was President Trump's statement. In closing, Bruce, let's talk about what this pardon really means and what it doesn't mean. Can you help us understand it?
Well, I think it's just another thing that it has shaken or will shake the public's confidence in government. It was certainly within Joe Biden's powers to pardon his son. But when you spend over a year telling the American people, I will not pardon him, I will abide by the court's decision, and then as soon as it's politically expedient to pardon your son because he's no longer up for election, Biden, he pardons his son. And the other thing to remember here is the way this is being spun is that Joe Biden pardoned his son Hunter because he's such a great dad and he hates to see his son mistreated. I'll give you another perspective on this. Don't think that Hunter Biden doesn't have incriminating information on his father, on Barack Obama, on both of their administrations, because this all started with Obama. Obama appointed Joe Biden to go to Ukraine and handle those business things.
And China. He was in charge of Ukraine and China.
And that's where the money came out of. And that's not a coincidence. And it's not a coincidence that Joe Biden sent his son Hunter to both of these countries. So really, Obama is kind of hanging out there, and so is Joe Biden, in that Hunter Biden, if he would have been sentenced to prison, don't think he wouldn't have gone to the U.S. Attorney's office and said, what can I do to stay out of prison? Can I provide you some information?
Yeah, I think so, too.
So don't think this is just a big, you know, a nice gesture by a father to his son.
You remember that one missive we got from Hunter? Maybe it was on his laptop while he was complaining that his dad takes all of his money. His dad demands that he give him all of his money. Mm-hmm. And so there is some resentment there. We know that from those emails. Well, Bruce, that's the one. There are a few holes in this pardon, as I understand it. It's pretty broad and sweeping, but others point out that it goes back to cover when he joined the board of Burisma in 2014, but it doesn't cover when the big guy became vice president in 2009. And it's also pointed out that Hunter can no longer plead the fifth in a Senate investigation. So Mike Lee is the one who pointed that out. So it's going to get interesting. It's not going to be over. And maybe it's not even over for Hunter.
What do you bet Hunter gets very selective memory because of his drug addiction and just can't remember back to 2009 if he's questioned?
But you're right. Well, the irony, too, one more ironic thing. I don't have the quote, but President Trump said, and I did hear him indicate this, that he would probably not go after Hunter. And so that's really ironic. So President Trump is the opposite of what they say he is. And he's actually very kind, sometimes too kind, I think.
President Trump has a track record. He could have gone after Hillary Clinton when he was elected back in 2016. He didn't even talk about that. One of the first things he did was say, you know what, we're going to move along here. We're not going to go back and do all that. And so for Joe Biden, who has been just hell-bent on getting these January Sixers, it's really, again, it's rich that the media spins this as like they are afraid of Trump appointing Kash Patel as his FBI director. You know what? Hunter's cases are over. They have been adjudicated. Kash Patel cannot step in, even if he's confirmed as the FBI director, and bring these cases back and seek a higher sentence. These cases are over.
Well, a lot of things are over, and a lot of things they be a change in. And I've got a smile on my face because I look forward to justice. And justice, by the way, just to remind all of us, is what's right and what's wrong, regardless of your economic status, the power that you wield. This justice is blind, and God often brings mercy. That's a different thing. But justice must be done by a just God and a just government. And so hopefully we're going to see some of that justice rolling over us to bring healing to this country. That's what I long for. All right, honey, thank you for joining me, Mr. FBI agent. Thank you.
It was certainly my pleasure.
You're still cute.
this is, to say it's near and dear to my heart would be understating it.
Yeah, I know. All right, well, we want to thank you for listening. And I want to also thank our sponsor, Timothy Plan, because you can put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.